First of all, Jesus makes this mention to them in verses 41 through 43. He says, at this the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. This was the human response. You see, when we look at things from a human perspective, we don't always see what God wants us to see. And you might say, well, that's the only way I can look at things is from a human perspective because I'm a human. Right? But see, the spiritual life is so much better than the human life. And this is the reason why. It's because when you begin to have spiritual eyes, when you begin to see things from God's perspective rather than your own perspective, it opens up a whole new world. And we start to see things that we've never seen before. The reason these guys that he's speaking to right here, these Jews, are having a hard time is because they were looking at everything through religious eyes, not spiritual eyes, religious eyes. These were eyes that saw things only according to what they've always been taught. Jesus came to start opening up their spiritual eyes. But here's their response. When they heard these things, what does the Scripture say? They began to grumble. Aren't we good at grumbling, by the way? Did anybody ever teach you how to do that? I can never remember my mom or my grandparents or anybody sitting me down and go, listen, I want to teach you how to grumble. We don't have to learn that, do we? It's a natural response. When something happens that we don't like, we grumble. Parents, you ever told your child to do something? They go, oh, I don't want to do that. You know, you didn't teach them to do that. It's just something we do. Isn't it interesting how many times we see people grumbling in Scripture and in our world? I mean, it happens all the time. The Greek term here is goguzo, which means to murmur, grumble, to show smoldering discontent. In other words, these guys were getting pretty upset about the fact that Jesus was talking about a new life and being the bread of life. And he kept mentioning the manna from heaven. And they go, we know about the manna from heaven. And our people ate it and they still died. Jesus was trying to speak to them and let them know what he was talking about. He, and in fact, made reference back to Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. The whole Israel community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month after they'd come out of Egypt, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. See, they already knew how to do that. And the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you brought us out in the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Go on to the next shot. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven. For your people are going to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will... That's hard to read, isn't it? Oh, I can read over. I will test them and see whether they follow my instructions. And on the sixth day, they are to prepare what they are to bring in, and that's to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you the meat to eat in the evening and the bread you want in the morning because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You're not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in a cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. You see, all along the way, people's response has always been, what's in it for me? What can I get out of this? Basically, these Jews right here were saying, isn't this the carpenter's son? We know his mom and dad. What's he talking about, his heavenly father? Basically, they're saying, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Why is it that this guy is talking about the bread of heaven? Well, that was their response, grumbling. Here was God's response. And by the way, God's response is always the right one. God says, I always provide. I am the bread of life. You know, he always provided because of his name, Jehovah Jireh, the provider. Everything we've ever needed, God has provided. You know, I think a lot of times we take so many things for granted, don't we? Do you realize that probably, and until I say this, I'm about 100% sure that none of you thought about this today until I say this. How many of you are grateful for the air you're breathing right now? Yeah. But did you think about that any time today at all? I got up today and I'm breathing air because there's air. God provided that for me. And I got to take a shower today because I had water in the pipes. God provided water. And I got to drive here instead of walk because God provided me a vehicle. And I got to eat some breakfast this morning because God provided me some. We don't think about those things. We just expect them to be there, don't we? Until they don't work. Until the electricity goes off. Until your water well goes down. We just expect things. God always provides for us. He provided a ram for Abraham. You remember that? He'd asked Abraham to take his own son, put him on the altar, Isaac, and to slay him. And as he was about to do that, God says, wait a minute, Abraham. I realize now that you'll do what I've asked you to do. And so he provided a ram instead of slaying his own son. He provided freedom from captivity for these people who are sitting here grumbling. They could have still been in Egypt. They could have still been slaves. He's provided manna from heaven out in the middle of the desert. I mean, there was nothing to grow out there. There were no animals to kill to eat on. If they had to eat their own animals, and if they ate those, they wouldn't have nothing. God said, okay, I'll provide for you manna every morning. Later on, they grumbled so much, he said, okay, I'll provide quails for you, meat that you can eat in the evening. But because you've grumbled so much, I'm going to give you so much quail that it's going to make you sick. But see, the metaphor here is so beautiful because God responds to grumbling by saying, listen, I'm here to provide for you. You grumble because you think I'm not doing what I can do. And I'm telling you, I'm giving you everything you need. I am the bread that came from heaven. Every time I see the words, I am, I realize that God's simply saying who He is, His name. I am the bread that came from heaven. Jesus said, I am the bread that comes from heaven. Look at what it says in verse 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. John 6:35. Then on later, a couple of chapters over in John chapter 8, verse 12. Let me just flip over to that real quick. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. And then John 8:58, he says this, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. Now that's not proper English. Before Abraham was born, I am. They weren't concerned about the proper English in this particular. What they heard was Jesus saying, hey, before Abraham was even born, I was already here. Because I am. The manna came every day, and all they had to do was to pick it up. Jesus says, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. God is, he's responding to his people. He's responding to us. He is here for us every day, so we need to do is, all we need to do is come and abide in him. That's all we need to do. God is responding to the grumbling. He is the bread of heaven. Secondly, this morning, the call of the Father. He is calling out to anyone who will come. He's saying, starting in verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. In other words, we are drawn to God by His Holy Spirit. The Scripture says that. Everyone who comes to God is drawn by the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You see, it's not up to man to be saved, but it's up to God's desire for a man to be saved. In other words, God wants all people to come to Him. And so, by His Holy Spirit, He begins to speak. There's some people who don't want to hear it. And so they turn their back and they don't listen to God. They just grumble about where they are in their whole life, and they grumble about everything. But they're not willing to listen to the only one who can help them. God Himself, who is the bread of life. He draws people to Him. And the Scripture says here, anyone may come to the well and drink of living water. Jesus said, I want everyone to come to me. I want everyone to experience life. I want everyone to come and taste of the bread of life. John chapter 12, verse 32 says it like this. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, what does it say? I will draw all people to myself. God's Holy Spirit is constantly drawing people to God. Constantly drawing people to God. God desires us more than we ever desired Him. Folks, that would be a sentence to put on the wall in your house, to write on the outside of your heart, to be a thought for you every single morning when you wake up. Say, God, you desired me more than I could have ever desired you. You love me so much that you are willing to come into this world and become a physical human being and take on the brunt of this world and ultimately die on a cross for me and pay my sin debt. That's how much you love me. When Jesus died on the cross, your name was on His mind and your sin was on His heart. God loved you that much. He draws us by His Holy Spirit. What are we to do? We should listen to His Spirit. God is continually speaking and calling mankind to Himself. I tell you what, folks, everything that happens is just another way that God is trying to speak to this world. He's trying to tell this world how much He loves you. Are you listening? Am I listening? Am I hearing the Word of God? Am I hearing His Spirit speak to me? Verse 45, Jesus says, everyone who has heard the Father and learned from Him comes to me. Many times Jesus would say, if you just have ears to hear. Now I think everybody in this room would probably say, I've got ears. I don't think I have anybody in here that doesn't have any ears. Got ears? Reach up there and grab them. Make sure they're still there. Okay? Some of you are doing that. That's good. You're listening. Okay? But we got ears, right? What are they for? To hear. Why would Jesus say that over and over again? Because obviously, even though we physically hear things, sometimes it just goes in right here and it comes out here and we don't hear it. It doesn't register. It doesn't take root in our heart and mind. It just goes. In fact, what'll drive you crazy, I'm not trying to teach you how to drive you crazy, but what'll drive you crazy if you start listening to every sound that you hear. See, you've already blanked out the fact that you can hear this thing running up here. Can you hear that? Only because you're listening now. But it's been doing that the whole time, hadn't it? But you didn't hear it. Well, you heard it, but you blank it out because it's just part of the noise of the room. So it's like if you're in a crowd of people and they're all talking, you don't hear anything they're saying, but you hear them, right? God is always speaking. He's always speaking. But are we listening? You see, to listen to something particular, you got to hone in on it, right? So let's listen for just a second. You hear it? It's running. Okay? It's running. Do you hear God speaking? You got to hone in on it. You got to listen to Him. You got to be willing to hear what He has to say. How do I do that? Here it is. This is His Word. And He's speaking. He's speaking. He's speaking. His Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. He's speaking through people in your lives. Are we listening? Everyone who has heard the Father has learned from Him and has learned from Him comes to me, the Scripture says. Do we have ears to hear? Then Jesus makes this statement to all of them. I am the living bread. I am the bread of life. I'm not just some manna that you pick up every day and eat, and it filters through your body, and it's used up by you. I am living bread. I am bread that sustains you. And the Scripture says it gives you eternal life. The Greek term here is aeon. I can't say it in the Greek very easily because it's not pronounced like it's spelled. But if you look at this word, just take a look at it for a second. If you take the AI off the front, what does that spell? Onion. That's the Greek term that we get this picture from. It literally means everlasting without end. If you take an onion, you can start peeling off layers of skin. It just keeps going. And if you can stop crying long enough, you could do it for a long time. It seems like it's never going to end if you ever peeled an onion all the way down like that. Have you ever done that? Nobody ever does that. Because what would be the use of that? But the fact is what this word literally says and means is that it's without end. It's everlasting. God's life to us is everlasting life, eternal life with Him. This term is connected to our belief. If something happens of eternal nature when someone believes in God by faith. The Scripture tells us that once we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we receive eternal life through Him. Now you might say, well, everybody's got eternal life either in heaven or hell. But eternal life is different in heaven than it is in hell. That's eternal death in hell. I wouldn't call it life at all. It's the opposite of life. Jesus said, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. I am that manna. But I'm not physical manna. I am spiritual manna that will feed your spirit and give you real life all day long, every day, all the time. Turn, if you will, a couple of pages or maybe three or four pages to the right in your Bibles. over to John chapter 10 as Jesus continues to speak these words. John chapter 10, verse 10 says this: "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Overflowing life. You see, manna was God's supernatural provision for His people. Now Jesus says, "I am the bread. I am God's supernatural provision for you. I am God's supernatural provision for you." The thief doesn't want you to experience eternal life. He doesn't want you to have overflowing or abundant life. Why? Because once you receive it, you can't lose it. Once you receive it, he realizes he has no pull on you any longer. The thief, he comes to steal and destroy. But once you receive this life, overflowing, abundant life, he doesn't want you to have that. Why? Because it overflows to others. You see, it's not just for you. I mean, I'm glad I have Jesus in my life. But if I have Jesus in my life and I don't share it with anybody else, what good is that? It benefits me and only me. But Jesus didn't come for just me. He came so that the whole world could know that God loves them. And so Satan wants to stop you, first of all, from receiving Jesus. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. But if you do receive Jesus, he wants to stop you from telling anybody else. And you know what? He's done a pretty good job of that. Because what he does is he puts his focus on trying to get you focused on yourself rather than on the people around you. The Jews were about to eat the Passover meal, by the way. And that's why Jesus was talking to them about bread. Because there was a point in the Passover meal when the bread is taken and broken and eaten. And Jesus mentions to them, "I am that bread. I am the bread of life." When Jesus later took the Passover with his disciples, he picks up the bread and he says, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Every time you eat of it, remember me." It's because Jesus is the bread of life that we are victorious. It is because Jesus came and gave of himself so that we could be sustained that we are victorious. Jesus said, "I am the one who makes you new and whole. I am the bread of life." It's a gift that God has given us. He's given us His grace, and He's given us the gift of real life. Not just existing, but living. Living because of who He is, living inside of us. Father, I thank you so much this morning for this opportunity to be reminded, even in that video that we saw, reminded that you came to a little bitty town, born in a little sheep pen. You were laid in a manger, but you came so that everybody who's ever lived or ever will live could know that they could have life through you. What an amazing thing that is. You came to give us life. What was taken away by our sin, the wages of our sin is death. You came to restore life to us. And it's only through you. It's only through a relationship with you. It's only through knowing you and knowing what you've done for us and receiving you as our Savior and Lord that we can have real life. Not just life here on this earth. This is temporary. But we can have everlasting life. Lord, if we'll just come to you. And I just thank you for every person in this room who's already done that. But if there's anyone else here today who's not yet trusted you as their personal Lord and Savior, I just pray right now that they would give their life to you. How would I do that, Pastor? I don't know how to do. All you have to do is what the Scripture says. Call upon the Lord. Just say something like this, "Dear Lord, I need you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me and make me new. Give me real life. I want to live in you today. Save me. Thank you for saving me." If you would pray a simple prayer like that, I know God would hear you and He would respond to you and He would come and live inside of you and make you a new person and He will be the bread of life for you. But I dare say there's probably some of us sitting here today who've already received Him as our Savior, but we've really not made Him Lord of our life. In other words, we've tried to separate ourselves out from that a little bit by saying, "Yes, I want salvation, but I don't want Him to be in control all the time. Because I like being in control." That's not an option when you give your life to Jesus. He becomes King and Lord of your life. So I want to encourage you, even this morning, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you will begin to follow Him as such, your Lord. The word Lord literally means boss. He's in control. He's sitting on the throne of your life, and you're not pushing Him off the throne, but you're following Him. In just a moment, we're going to sing this hymn of invitation, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." And when we start to sing it in just a moment, we'll stand in just a moment and start singing these words. But I would encourage you, if you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'd love to help you understand how to do that. I'm here at the front. If you'd come, I would share with you how to do that. I won't embarrass you. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm trying to tell you how much God loves you. And I'll pray with you and show you how to receive Him according to God's Word. Maybe you're looking for a church home and you feel like this is the place that God is leading you. We'd love to have you. But the fact is, folks, we are here because of what He's done for us. And we want to encourage other people to do the very same, to realize what God has done for us. He is life. And He's told us that He has come to give us life to overflowing abundance. Real life. Life that is eternal. Life that is full. Life that is abundant. Life that is really true. That's what He wants to give you. So if you'd like to receive that life this morning, or you'd like to begin living in that life that you already have, maybe you just want to come and kneel at the altar and pray and ask God to fill you with His life. Let's stand. Let's begin to sing this song. And as we do, would you come? Have thine own way.